This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي خلق الخلق ليعبدوه وحبب إليهم الإيمان ليذكروه وأسبغ عليهم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة ليشكروه، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الذين صحبوه ونصروه إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طاسين، تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين، هدى وبشرى للمؤمنين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Once again, with the grace of the Almighty, we meet on the forum and the platform of studying the commentary, the exegesis, the tafsir of yet another chapter of the Quran. This time round, Surah An-Naml. Naml means ant. Wadi An-Naml, the colony of ants. And of course, there is Surah An-Kabut in the Quran as well, spider. There is Fil, the chapter on the elephant. There is Baqarah, the cow. So there are different names to different chapters. And in this particular chapter, we will be exploring the story, the tale and the narrative of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam when he passed by the colony of ants. So where does this chapter appear in the Quran? It appears in the 19th Juz. It is chapter 27. It comprises of 93 verses and 7 sections, 7 ruku as we would refer to it. That being said, as the introductory comments, let's get into the meat of it, and let's get into the surah itself. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Taseen. So, subhanallah, like many other chapters of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens this chapter with huruf muqatta'at, separated letters, the meaning of which is mysterious, allegorical, and exclusively known to the Almighty. But we have in our previous tafsir episodes encapsulated the wisdom of this. It is not free from benefit. By reading it, one will receive the reward promised on every letter of the Quran. And again, it just shows us that وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That absolute and total and perfect and complete and wholesome knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course we have the mutashabihat. Mutashabihat are of two types, the allegorical and mysterious. Some are those that the translation is known to us, but the meaning in its actual form is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, Allah's hand. وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَاهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ. So yadun means hand, but obviously we do not visualize or imagine any organ or limb for Allah, as he himself has said in Surah Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. So we can translate that, but the actual meaning is the ta'wil and the interpretation of that is only known to Allah. And then of course, Taseen, which is the opening letters of chapter 27, which is the topic of discussion, here even the translation is only known to Allah. Furthermore, Allah says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ وَقُرْآنٍ مُّبِينٍ. These are the verses of the book, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ. These are the verses, and we do know that tilka principally in Arabic grammar comes to indicate something distant or something close, but to impress its significance. And yes, in the case of the Quran, nothing can be more significant and more important than the verses of the Almighty and the Quran itself. Tilka, appreciate the grandeur that it associates with it. Tilka, these, the majestic verses, ayat, verses, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْقُرْآنِ. These are the verses of the Quran. وَكِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And they are the verses of the clear book. Clear, as mentioned by, in Al-Bahr al-Muhit, that clear in explaining the permissible from the impermissible, the lawful from the unlawful, likewise clear in its explanation for the abode of those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consequences for those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verses are there, everything has been captured there. Sometimes human intellect does not fully tap into it and grasp it or comprehend it, but it is there, it is there. You know, simple analogy, I'm looking for my keys in the closet, I don't find it, and then I'm screaming and I'm yelling, and then somebody else comes, my better half or my son, and he comes and he says, but dad, Abu, here it is. And then you realize it is where it was, it's just that I did not see it. So the Quran has absolute detail. فيه علم الأولين والآخرين ولكن تقاصرت عنه أفهام الناس. The human intellect is evolving gradually to grasp it. Subhanallah, I have a reflection. You know, and this is the beauty of the Quran, as we will explore and we've done previously. So here we have chapter 16, right? Surah An-Nahl, the chapter on the bee. We're talking of the ant here. This is the chapter on the bee. In Juz 14, chapter 16, Surah An-Nahl, and another name of this chapter is Ni'am. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the different bounties and favors upon man. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا. He's created the animals for you. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ. From the skin and the fur and the wool, you derive warmth. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ. And many benefits. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And those animals that are permissible, you slaughter and you consume. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And there is an element of beauty and splendor for you as well in the morning when the animals go out grazing and they cover the meadows, and it's a spectacle, it's impressive, it just creates a sense of beauty. وَلَكُمْ and for you, فِيهَا in these animals, جَمَالٌ beauty, حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ when they return in the evenings, وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ and when they go out in the mornings. Now, look at the beauty here. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ. In these animals, Allah says, وَالْخَيْلَ, the horse. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ, and the mule. وَالْحَمِيرَ, the donkey. لِتَرْكَبُوهَا, you mount onto it. وَزِينَ, so it commutes you, it takes you from point A to point B, and there is a sense of beauty and adornment in the brand, especially in horses, right? The fine bred horses. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. In another chapter of the Quran, in Surah Sa'd, Allah says, when fine bred horses were presented before Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. So in this verse, there's mention of the upper end mode of transport, the average, and the more simple. You're talking of horses, you're talking of mules, you're talking of donkeys. Now look at the beauty. We would generally read through it, a cursory glance. Okay, Allah has spoken about some benefits, etc. But look at those with the deeper eye. Look at those with the deeper eye and how they deduce. And that's what I'm saying. The verses are clear. The Quran contains everything. But are we thoroughly perusing, studying? Are we investing our time and energy into it with passion and diligence? I'm afraid no. But hopefully, my respected listener and viewer, brother and sister, with platforms of this nature, we will, inshallah, stimulate and arouse within ourselves that passion to study and understand and comprehend the Quran. So in Bayanul Quran, there's this amazing deduction made here from the format, and the sequence, the chronological sequence that has been adopted in the Quran. إراده بعد سرد الضرورات من الدفء وسائر المنافع والأكل دليل على عدم إضرار قصد المصالح الزائدة كالزينة والجمال إذا كان فيها نوع من المصلحة ولم يكن فيه نوع من محذور والتفاخر والاستكبار وإذا قل ما يخلو عنه المبتدي صلح له أن يكون على جانب بعيد منه ما لم تتهذب نفسه ويذهب ويشهد بتهذيبها الشيخ الفطن. لا إله إلا الله. This is the beauty, and this is what I keep on impressing upon my audiences and you know, my students, and when we have these interactions, that we need to appreciate how rich, how profound, how wholesome. So the scholar writes, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a, that Allah spoke about zina, beauty, adornment, beautification, brand, that you know, you ride in this conveyance, it takes you from one point to another, but it also gives you a sense of beauty and a sense of pride and a sense of excellency. So that indicates to us that principally, when we purchase something, be it a watch, be it a shoe, be it a jacket, be it a car, there is room for allowance of incorporating the intention of some beauty in it, within limitation. And that's what I want to endeavor to qualify and give perspective to it. Islam gives you that recognition. Sometimes you buy a jacket just because it's warm, but sometimes you buy it because it's warm and you like the brand. You like the brand. You like this car. You're into that particular brand of cars. But wait, hang on. Can you dive just into the brand? Can you pay exclusive just for the brand? No, understand here. إراده بعد سرد الضرورات من الدفع وسائر المنافع والأكل دليل على عدم إضرار قصد المصالح الزائدة كالزينة والجمال إذا كان فيها نوع من مصلحة كدفع المذلة. The fact that Allah spoke about beauty and adornment in the conveyance at the tail end of the discussion indicates and impresses to us that it is fine to incorporate that when the objectives are principally fulfilled. So you're buying a car because of a brand, but like we see with many youth, the car doesn't fulfill the purpose. It's not designed practically. You cannot take an adult in that car. The car is not user-friendly. It's just about a style. It's just about a look. It's just about, you know, blending in with the norms amongst the youth, but it defeats its fundamental purposes. You got a phone that is very fancy, but it's not practical. It's not user-friendly. So the Quran impresses upon us that Allah spoke about beauty at the tail end. إِرَادُهُ بَعْدَ سَرْدِ الضَّرُورَاتِ مِنَ الدَّفْعِ, that you derive warmth from the skin of the animal. وَسَائِرِ الْمَنَافِعِ, and all other related benefits. وَالْأَكْلِ, and you consume it. دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ إِضْرَارِ قَصْدِ الْمَصَالِحِ الزَّائِدَةِ, you could factor these things in if there is some good motive in it. كَدَفْعِ الْمَذَلَّةِ, that like is mentioned here, that sometimes by wearing a particular brand, you know, you refute the myth that people might have, that sometimes a person would say, no, you know what, a scholar, he doesn't have any prominence, he doesn't have any social standing, he might be, you know what, reaching out for some aid or assistance, or sometimes society would view you different. So at times, if you have something of a more branded nature, not all the time, not exclusively, and the fundamental objectives are fulfilled, and the aim is to dispel a myth. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was one of the greatest jurists. He used to wear fine clothing and stand up in tahajjud, etc. But there too, the scholars say, وَإِذَا قَلَّمَا يَخْلُوا عَنْهُ الْمُبْتَدِي, that often a person who is just traversing the path of spiritual reformation, he can often become overwhelmed and proud, haughty, and arrogant by wearing or owning or possessing something exclusive. Hence, he should keep a safe distance from it until there is a degree of spiritual reformation. وَيَشْهَدُ بِتَهْذِيبِهَا الشَّيْخُ الْفَطِنُ, and it takes somebody else of a greater level that can say, in your time, at your age, it would be fine for you to invest something of this nature. So you cannot become the advocate of yourself. Anyway, I digressed into this reflection on the note that the Quran is clear, but it takes the deeper eye, and it takes those that are erudite and thorough to fully comprehend and to draw the rich lessons from the Quran. So that's the first verse of Surah An-Naml. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْقُرْآنِ وَكِتَابٍ مُّبِينٍ. Verse number two, هُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay, so what does this book principally in this chapter convey to us? Hudan, it conveys guidance. Yes. Wabushra, and glad tidings. For who? Lil mu'mineen. And there can be no doubt, my brother and my sister, my listener and my viewer, that a life devoid and bereft of divine guidance is a life of misery, a life of indulgence. And I always say Ramadan is the perfect example. We all have this natural aspiration for happiness, right? That this is a human thing. You ask someone, why are you pursuing this degree? Ultimately, I want to be happy. Why you want to settle down? Ultimately, I want to be happy. Why are you relocating? Ultimately, I want to be happy. Why are you going for a holiday? Ultimately, nobody then further engages you and say, why do you want to be happy? Because that's intrinsic. We all are made. We have this inherent desire within us. But let's be frank, candid, and honest. Throughout the year, we travel, we enjoy, we indulge. Do we ever enjoy the happiness that suddenly is in our house for 30 days for one meal? Everybody, is there any month in the entire year where you were so excited to eat as suddenly iftar brings to the 5-year-old and the 55-year-old, the male and the female, there is a sense of joy and happiness every iftar. And what's the answer to that? Moderate deprivation results in bliss and happiness. So because we deprive ourselves, regulate ourselves, control ourselves, discipline ourselves by the command of the Almighty, and of course that's the aim. That's the aim of fasting, that Allah says, taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon. And I must make a qualifying statement here. Imam Shatibi has made mention of this as well, that Allah says the aim of fasting is so that you develop taqwa. Now someone can say, well, I don't have to fast. I can still attain taqwa in a different way. No, there is a taqwa associated to every action. And the taqwa that is associated to sawm and fasting can only be accomplished through fasting. So you cannot minus or exclude or omit fasting and say, I'll go direct to taqwa and I'll inculcate taqwa. No, no. Taqwa that is desired out of fasting can only be achieved out of fasting. So the point I'm saying is a life of discipline, right? A person who has no discipline is a heartache to others and a headache to himself. There are too many people in the world with great talent, but no discipline. And because of that, they died as paupers on the street. You hear of so many people who owned wealth and had everything but lack of discipline. And Islam, in essence, the legislation of Islam is a life of discipline. Which verse number 2 in chapter 27, out of the 93 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this Quran, this book, this chapter, hudan, it is guidance. And when you follow the guidance, bushra, it is glad tidings. Glad tidings in this world of a happy life, and glad tidings in akhirah of Jannah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those people who follow this divine guidance so that we can be deserving of that glad tidings. And here is a hadith I'll leave you with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bashir al-Mashain, give glad tidings to those people who frequent the masjid in the hours of darkness, of perfect light on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.